Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hi, you guys. Hey, I see you jumping to get on this show. And I am so happy. For the past 30 minutes, I've been trying to get this show, the Global Vision for Living Today show, off this platform. And I say that because it's been down, from what I understand, all night long. And I was just sitting here praying, oh, God, you know this is for you, oh, Jehovah, in the name of Jesus. You know this show is for you. So thank God they had a little message saying all systems are down. Try your call some other time. And I know our spot is 8 a.m. on Saturday, so I could not have gotten off and jumped back on. But God bless you. Thank you for tuning in again. Once again, to the Global Vision for Living Today. And we have certainly a good show coming today because many of you, you know, we've been talking about, you know, who will march for God and who's going to talk for God. And, you know, it's always about God, God, God. So you know, I was getting a little bit nervous there. But this Saturday, today, we're going to concentrate more on what a person can do for God or about God or don't do nothing at all. And of course, that was some ordained prophetic consequences. But the show today is entitled, Am I Holding On to God in Vain? And we chose this topic because the last few weeks we've been getting a lot of call-ins through the dashboard. And with people saying that, you know, should you expound more on this? You know, I didn't like what he said. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. It wasn't right. It wasn't true. But right now, we're asking the question, are you holding on to God in vain? Many can claim a walk with God, you know, talking. They can claim a walk with God or a relationship that helps them through their day, their lives, and their sanctity. Many say that without God, their lives would be empty and, of course, a living mess. Why is it that people tend to have more trials in this world when they say, oh, I'm worshiping God or I'm hanging on to him? It seems like those people have more mental health problems, drug-induced problems in the world, and many of them are on increase, though still saying, I'm going to hang on to this unseen God. I'm going to hang on. Why do their faces tend to be longer than others, and every time you talk to them, they got a burden? Oh, I'm sick. They're sick. My wife is sick. I this, I that, I'm out of work, I'm praying to God for work, I'm this, I this, I, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those people that claim they're holding on to God, why is it they have more problems than anyone in the world? And I heard a commentator this morning say that out of all the people professing to love God, serve God, want to do right by God, they're all like black folk. That the biggest increase of those talking about a God, they're black, but they have so many problems. They're sick. They this, they that. They don't have this. Ain't going to get that. Don't know how to get this. Are they holding on to God in vain? We have with us, as you know, Dr. Colonel Harrison. You know, I just seen his phone number pop in. Hi, Colonel Harrison. Thank you again for being with us today. This is a hot topic because, you know, as a minister, I'm pretty sure you get people in your flock that no matter how much you preach to them or no matter what you do, they are full of problems, never have anything good to say, never have anything good to say about someone else. They're always begging God. I'm begging God. I got to go to God and beg. Well, you know what? That isn't true. And we want you to help expound on that. People talking about God, are they hanging on to him in vain, the majority?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cupertino, listening audience. Happy New Year to everyone, and pray that all is well with everyone. Vain, first, I guess we need to define the word vain. Vain means to produce no results. For those who know who God is and those who believe in God, those who serve in God, the Bible teaches that we're not holding on to him in vain. We're not worshiping him in vain. We're not serving him in vain. And I find that we tend to believe in each other, believe in man, believe in woman, believe in child. But people struggle when it comes to believing an invisible God whom they can't see. But it's one that they have to get to know who it is. So those of us who know who God is, God Jehovah, we're not holding on to him in vain. We're not serving him in vain wherein there are no results. There are results for those who serve God, worship God, honor God. God is intimately involved in their lives and with their families and with the provisions that they need and restoring health, helping people through hardship situations and so forth. So if there's a vanity involved, it's the vanity of mankind, not vanity of God. God is real, but mankind, we can't depend on them. So I'll pause for a moment.
Yeah, unless that to some is true, you really can't depend on God, because Jeremiah 10:23 says, it does not belong to man who is walking upright to direct his steps. So I want you guys to hear that, because, you know, you our guys like to send me these little messages and all of that, and I see one already here on this dashboard. Yes, it is not for man to direct his own steps, and that was 10 centuries ago. So Colonel Harrison really spoke very wisely. But now, you know, here's the question here, serving God. You know, if you're in a restaurant and you serve someone, you're standing up over them, you're handing them food, you're asking them if they need a napkin, if they want something to drink, would you like a drink of that? You know, that's serving. So Colonel Harrison just brought that up, you know, that they're serving God. I don't know of any orders except the last one in Matthew by God's son. He told them in the end, when they were crying and wondering, they're on their knees, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? The Romans are going to destroy us. They're going to put us off of our land. You know, they're still talking about that Palestinian issue from 1949. That's centuries ago. What are we to do? He said, go ye therefore. I'm not going to tell you to kill anyone. I'm not going to tell you to go and rob the temple. I'm not going to tell you to plot to bring the Roman Empire down, kill Herod and all that. I'm not going to tell you any of that. You probably want to hear that, but I'm not going to tell you that. All I'm going to tell you to this is go ye therefore. So I would think that if a person is serving God, he's out on the sidewalk. People can actually see that they're doing something, and that certainly would be a service to God, not peddling the word, but taking his words of hope and proclamation to others. So how can one tell? We're not going to expound too much on this, because Colonel Harrison gracefully is with us just for the duration of our show. But if any of you want to send me something on that, you can. If Colonel Harrison want to pause and talk again about that, we can, or I can move on. But how can you tell if a person is serving God? Not just going, they're not doing God a service going to church, because they're going there just to hear how to become a better person and, of course, how to love God. But just going there, sitting down, can you actually call that service? No, many are saying no, that's not the way. So how can a person think they're doing God a favor going in, sitting down? His son said, go ye therefore. So maybe, you know, they go in to try to learn something, but if you see them coming in and out and they're not putting what they have heard to any kind of works that you can actually see, month after month, day after day, week after week, begging, hungry, I'm just, oh my God, that's making me crazy just repeating it. So this serving of God, you certainly, you are certainly serving God if you're going ye therefore. But then the actual results, I think people think that they might be holding on to God in vain because they don't see any results. I pray today, I cry tomorrow. I pray today, I'm dead in my casket next week. I pray today, my kids have gotten killed in a head-on crash. I pray today, the doctor told me I got cancer. I pray today, I'm hungry tomorrow. I want our Colonel Harrison to really address that, because many that claim that they're holding on to God, there's no results in their life. Begging, crying, sick, just got off the sick bed, on the way to the sick bed. Oh. What are the results, Colonel Harrison, if you can help us out? You know, I know you mentioned a few, And I see many here clogging up this dashboard because they're on this health question. We can't answer them all, Colonel Harrison. Time is limited here today, but many say, you know, you're praying and you get restored health. What good is that if you got them out? You know, if you're lifted up. If the doctor says, okay, you got 2 more years, should anyone exult in that, you know, exaltation? Should they cry out, oh, yeah? What in the world does that mean? Should anyone live for health or a restored health? They're living to honor God. I don't know the servant part definitely, but he said honor him. So this restored health. If I got cancer and he told me, okay, you're cured, but it's going to come back next week, of what good is that? Talk to us about that, because that doesn't sound like anything worthy of even really talking about. What are the real results a person would get? Because our topic is, am I holding on to God in vain? He's no fool. He's way maker. Cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. There's nothing he cannot do. I'm the beginning and the end. I mean, oh, my God, he's so many things, so many adjectives. How can anyone say they're holding on to him, not in vain, when results would be a testimony? Can you help us out, Colonel Harrison?
Yes. First, it begins, Doc. The process begins with repenting of one's sins. One has to recognize that the life they're living is a life that is not good for them. It's hindering them. Sometimes the bad things that we do in our lives not only affect our health, affect our livelihood, affect our family, as well as affect us. So one has to turn away from that lifestyle. That lifestyle obviously is not of God. It's of the world. It's called repentance. One has to turn away from sin, make a change in their disposition. Once they make a change in their disposition, then they are to seek or find God through prayer, through revelation, through meditation, and it's called faith. Faith is belief and trust in God. You have to have belief and trust in God. Once one develops belief and trust in God, repent of their sins, develop belief and trust in God, then we're looking at a change of lifestyle, because there's a change of your mindset. The things that you did that got you into problems and the sinful things that you were doing that were causing you problems in your life, you change your lifestyle from that. You turn away from sin. You turn toward the holy things of God that are written in the Bible, the teachings and the instructions that is a roadmap for those who believe in God to live their lifestyle by. So it develops a change in your heart, a change in your mind, a change in your attitude, and a change in one's actions. It will merit better results. And everyone has to go through this. God is no respecter of person. Doesn't care whether they're rich, poor, high, low, whether they're a laborer, a ditch digger, a homeless person, a prostitute, whatever. There has to be a transformation. First, a repentance. Turn away from sin. Then believing there is a God. And then God is open to bringing them under salvation, ministering to them through the Holy Spirit, and changing their lives. But they got to be open and willing to submit themselves to God so he can make a change in their lifestyle.
Oh, my God, that sounds fabulous. You always have these great comments. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, that sounds like a lot of work. That, what you just said, sounds like a lot of work. People, I hope they stand still for that kind of work. You know, the hungry man ain't going to stand still. The man on his deathbed only have moments. That's what you just said. Sounds like a lot of work. And with that in mind, this word sin, I haven't heard that on even the TV ministers in years. I can't tell you when someone is talking about, sin. I think before a person even recognizes he's in a sinful state, that's why he said, go ye therefore and teach. I think they're going to have to be taught first before all of that even occurs. You know, they're not going to just wake up and say, okay, yeah, well, I better go over here to this church and I better repent. Most people can't even spell that word, repent. College graduates, R-E, unless you do the, what is it, phonics, you know, that's the way I learned in college. But to to actually go through about, I counted 8 steps that you just mentioned. That's a lot of work. So would you say that the first thing that should occur, whether a person thinks he's the descendant of Getty or he is a descendant of a chain gang man from Watts, from top to bottom, least to the greatest, to the greatest down to the least, should not a person first recognize if good or bad is in their life, if bad or good is in their life, that they need to be taught the Word of God? And most people, I don't know if they're going to be sitting still long enough to hear it. I know many said just a touch of the hem of his garment was enough to heal. So I know if a person just come off the street and he's, you know what, everything's going bad in my life, you know, I think I need God, they're probably not going to stand still enough to go through all those steps. So what would be the first step? I'm going to say it would be to become educated. And I'm not saying by Wednesday night Bible class, Friday night Bible class. What I'm talking about, and I know what God said, because he didn't say go in there one night a week and learn about me. He didn't tell those disciples turned into apostles, any of that. He just said, get on your feet. And I gather if they went there for, they was preaching and teaching night and day, 7 days a week. They were saying something to bring these people to them. So would you agree that the first thing that's necessary for anyone to even think about serving a God or wanting to go to God, getting a call from God, I'm called and all, oh, my God, oh, I get a headache even thinking about that kind of logic. Do you think the first thing that a person should do is learn of God? The Holy Scripture said, come ye therefore and learn of me. Jesus was not talking to fools there at the gate of the ascension when he went up. These were people that was walking with him for over 3 years, trained, and they ate with him, slept with him, smelled him, got him water. They did all of that. So he wasn't talking to people just off the street, come on in and go ye therefore. They sure had knowledge. Some of them were laying on hands and all of that. I don't even see that in some of these churches. You don't see no laying on the hands because they don't have faith. They're sitting there, but they don't have no faith that they, because what they ought to do, by the way some of them sound, they need to lay hands on their own self. So do you think the prerequisite, Colonel Harrison, and you're going to take us on home, we have about 15 minutes that we really want you devoted to that question. And that's a very important question, because this God in vain, no wonder their lives ain't getting no better. Every time you hear them, you listen to some of them, they sound like you want to run from rather than run to. I'm not going across the street and witness and lay hands on anyone. If I fail, I'm hanging on to God in vain. If I'm going to wake up tomorrow in the same shape, some people here on the desert say, well, I don't need him. Oh, yes, we need him every hour. Colonel Harrison, what can we do about that? What is this instruction? People got to be trained, not about no sin yet, no repentance yet. They don't know about that yet. Should not they be taught first the Word of God?
Yes, Doc. They should be taught the Word of God first.
You got a lot of people here. You better pay attention.
Yes.
They have to be taught the Word of God first, who God is.
Yes.
Psalm 83:18 says that men might know the God whose name is Jehovah is the Most High of all the earth. They have to know who God is. You have to get to know who a person is before you can trust in them, before you can believe in them, and before you can have confidence in them. So they got to get to know who God is. There are many, many resources out there that would help people get to know who God is. The internet information is loaded on there. The internet, you have the various Bibles, the Greek Bible, the traditional Holy Bible. You have the Torah, which is the Jewish Bible. There's so many references. Person got to get to know God. The same as you have to get to know me, I have to get to know you, and other people have to get to know each other. We each have to get to know God for ourselves, and then we can develop confidence and trust, which is faith, belief and trust in who God is and who God says he is. Once we find out who God is, then God does what he says he's going to do, because God is not a man that he should lie. He's a spirit. He's a supernatural, infinite spirit that has been around before the foundation of the world began. And so people, they have access worldwide information through the internet. I encourage them to search, seek, and they'll find. I did it manually before the worldwide internet. I used to read books, search books, go to churches, talk to pastors and so forth and so on, spiritual leaders. And that started me on my path. And then I did the research for myself. So like it's like a job. If you want to learn something new about a job, then you got to find the particulars and the details about the job. You got to find the particular details about who God is. So they got to seek and search, and they'll find out who he is. He will reveal himself unto those who search for him. Seek means to search for him. Search for knowledge. Search for information. Search for spiritual understanding. We waste a lot of time searching for a lot of other nonsense in the world. Seek one who you don't know that can help improve your lifestyle and can make life good for you on this earth and the world to come. Yes, that's what I suggest.
That is fabulous, and I love that suggestion there. Oh, my God. I'm just sitting here thinking about how millions of people, if they only would know how to turn to God. I don't think anyone's going to wake up and say, yeah, well, I better go to God. There's got to be something in someone in their life that they can follow as an example. There's got to be a voice of truth, a voice of trustworthiness. Oh, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. And God help us if those people are rooted in God, if they have had some kind of basic study about God, surely those are the ones, the descendants of the ones that he said, go ye therefore, because Jesus recognized. Now, I walked with you for 3 years, a little bit over that. And this is as far as I've gotten. I've raised the dead, you know, I've healed people, I've opened blind eyes, you know, I've fed 5,000 more, blah, 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 blah. The Bible says it can't hold all the miracles that he did if they had the chance to talk about all of them. The eyewitness was there, and they actually saw it. But after all of that, he told them, before you think about anything, changing the hearts of the Romans, changing the hearts of anybody, you ain't no heart changer. You're no heart fixer. I'm not sending you out to do any of that. You will not take my glory. You will not steal my thunder. Get out of here. Get out. Go ye therefore. There is no substitute for that. People that don't even know they need God. In my past experience, and it's not about me, so I'm not going to talk about that. They open the door up. Oh, my God, you're kidding. I didn't know that. Oh, come in. Oh, please, would you like something to drink? Are you hungry? Oh, my God, you're gorgeous. Oh, yeah. You got to get these people just like the blood on the doorpost when they were at that Passover point. And here's someone talking about the Torah again. Yes, you are right. Now, this, I'm going to kind of go back on that. The Torah doesn't speak of Jesus. It doesn't mention the name Jehovah. They might have a sprinkle of Yahweh, but we've got to keep in mind that if you want to follow God, I'm not sure about opening the Torah up because it's going to lead you to a certain point. You're not going any further because some are still waiting on Jesus Christ. So I don't know if looking at that's going to be the answer. And, you know, Colonel Harrison and I, we really want to be truthful and we want to bring it and break it down like it is. But now this thing called living, as our topic is, living a life in vain. If you follow the wrong teacher, oh, yeah, your life is going to be in vain. You're going to be hearing all these crazy things, and it's going to be so much confusion that even a scripture says, watch out, because in that last day entry, they're going to these teachers, so-called teachers, are going to be running in the street because, you know, if you really teach the word of God, there's healing in that. People's lives are going to get better. Their eyes are going to be opened up to who God is and what God is. If that is the case, he said, if you got what people want, my dad did. He said, if you got what people want, they're going to make a beaten path. You don't need a road or anything. They're going to find you somewhere. So this thing that we are talking about, and I'm going to call it a thing right now, because people are saying, I don't want no more of that. You know, I followed it. I ain't got nowhere. I ain't got no better. You know, I'm still living in the same. Oh my God, I don't even want to go through because it hit all day, all night. And I just tell them, show up on Saturday. Here is where it is. Listen in. And I hope some of you are listening in because you know I'm going to tell you the truth or whatever sounds like that. But this, am I holding on to God in vain? Once we hang up and you got to face the world for seven more days before hearing our voices, you might think, well, what am I going to do? Colonel Harrison, let's talk about, with that time left permitted, let's talk about the first step. You've already hinted on that. I know you said find out. How can a blind man seek out? Spiritually blind, physically blind, emotionally blind, mentally blind, how can they seek out anything? I believe his teachers were sent out from him. So how do you recognize someone that has really been sent out to go ye therefore and to teach these people? All people should not be standing up trying to teach God's people anything. They are too precious, those that want to come into a fold. You can't listen to anybody saying anything. People are turning away. So let's go over some of the steps that we already mentioned. You said a person is to seek out. I don't know where they would go. I think this thing is on the ones claiming to be sent by God. And you still have, I don't know any of them, but I still hear from, God sent me. God sent me. They have not a shred of evidence. They go by feelings. They go by a hunching. Jesus didn't say any of that. He gave clear instructions so no one would be able to stand up and claim anything out of the Herovius of the universe. Oh, I woke up this morning and this is what God said. You know, that's a stick of dynamite there. That's a stick of dynamite, especially in 2020. But let's go over three steps how a person can recognize, and I'm talking about those that claim they know God, been with God, and walk with God for 1,000 years. How would a person be able to recognize that he really is holding on to God, not in vain? He really counts in the eyes of God.
The first step, as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Compton, is educate oneself who God is. That's referred to in the Bible circle as seeking God, seeking to find out who he is. That's the first step. The second step, once one find out who he is to repent of their sins. Just simply turn away from their sins. Stop doing sinful things. What is sin? Sin is transgression of God's holy words. Things and actions that I'm doing in my life that are against God's holy words that are written in the Bible, written in the Holy Bible, traditional Bible, English Bible, the Septuagint, the Greek Bible, the Torah, the Hebrew Bible. Turn away from those. So educate ourselves by seeking God and to turn away from sinful things that are causing me to have a void relationship with God. And number three is to believe and trust in God. Once I find out who he is, I have to believe and trust in him. Then once one position themselves that God will manifest himself in their life through revelation knowledge, through scripture knowledge, through audio, listening to audio scriptures, even a blind man, a blind people got Braille, they can read Bibles in Braille or listen to the audio. So those are the three principal things. Educate oneself by seeking God. Number two, turn away from their sins. Number three, believing and trusting God once he reveals himself to you as to who he is.
Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. We love that so much for that comment. I'm going to jump in there and say he must be taught. You know, if I'm on narcotics, I'm not going to just get up and start reading the Bible. Somebody's got to help me. So all you out there, you're talking, you're sending messages, let me tell you something. Get out of there and go knock on these doors. Get the people out the burning house. The house is on fire, you know. Get them out of there. Don't wait for them to come to you. You are no big shot. You're not God. Don't wait for them to come to you. Go to them. Do what it says, and you will be blessed. God bless you. Thank you. Happy New Year to those that deserve it. We'll see you next Saturday, God willing. Thank you. Hallelujah. We'll see you next week. Thank you. God bless you.